All right. So Rebecca, you came after I posted the file, so you don't have the source sheet, but I'm going to post it right now again. Right.
Can
If you already.
you hear the music that's like playing somewhere or no?
Not really.
Okay, sorry, I'm outside. And there's
Music playing in the streets of Ann Arbor in the summertime? What are you talking about? I don't know what you're talking about. That's so strange. Okay. All right. So last class, we were talking about the concepts of triage, and we sort of laid out some of the early sources and some of the discussion about making the decision of whose life you save. And what I wanted to look at today is some contemporary responsa actually addressing the actual questions. I just looked through the sources that we did last time, and I think all these are different. We didn't look at any of these inside the last time, so this will all be new. We have four different recent responsa, the last two having been written like right now, in the last couple months, of Professor Schefter and Professor Weiss, and the other ones having been written before, not dealing with the corona, but I thought it'd be good to just have those sources and then look at what contemporary post-game are saying right now about corona right now. So we could just jump right into it. Again, the question being, you have two people coming into the hospital, you only have the equipment to save one. Who do you save? And we saw last time, we saw there was a mission in Horiot that basically gave a whole hierarchy, but we saw that virtually, maybe not even virtually, maybe absolutely everyone rejects that Mishnah in Horiot, and they don't follow that. And the basic thing that we came come down to, and some of the truth that we looked at last time, was that it came down to the question of who will be able to be saved, who's in greater need, and who has the greater chance of survival. And we'll see more of that coming up here. I don't. Did we see Rav Shlomo Zalman last time? I don't think we did. Right? I don't think we did. So, if someone wanna start us off with source number one, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. You can read it in Hebrew or in English. If we
Thank you.
saw this last time, it'd probably be because of the when he brings up Horio, but I don't think we did.
Don't think we learned it yet.
Yeah, okay. So Rebecca, since you spoke up, you want to read it?
Sure. It seems to me very difficult to practice in accordance with Horiot. However, to remove someone from a ventilator for someone else who is in a worse state, I am very unsure. For it's possible that the first one already acquired the device. The right to the device, and the sick person is certainly exempt from giving it up to the second one in greater danger. And likewise for a doctor treating patients. And it seems obvious that I think with regard to a ventilator, if based on majority, doctors see that there's no longer a use for the machine on someone, it is better that they give it to the second. But in truth, I'm not nailing this down, for these questions are grave and I don't have no absolute proof. And that which the hospital has decided to refrain from giving a ventilator to a treifa, it is conceivable that this is correct. If it is true that every day that the shlamim is coming in to be saved, yet even this is not completely clear.
Okay, so a couple things. Number one, he starts out by saying Horiot, and he acknowledges that there's a mission to Horiot, but we don't practice it, period. Then he talks about the question of, let's say person one was hooked up to the ventilator, and now person two comes in, and we really think that person two should get on the ventilator. So we ended last time looking at this responsa that thought that maybe you're not allowed to kill actively someone who's dying. You might not be able to actively kill them, but removing them from the ventilator and just letting them die, maybe that's totally allowed. That's what the tshuva that we saw last time. But there was an opinion that said that whether you think that, and was going back, remember last time, whether you think that killing a treifa, like killing someone who's already dying anyway, there was opinion who said that you're not allowed to kill them, and there was opinion who said you are allowed to kill them. And Rav Menashe Klein, who was the last response, the piece that we saw at the end of last time, said, according to both of them, you're allowed to remove a ventilator from someone who's already dying because that's not killing them. That's just removing something that's keeping them alive, and that's okay. So Shlomo Zalman says, no, you can't do that. Shlomo Zalman says, the first one has already acquired the device. And even if you're going to say that you know, they're dying, so what use do they have of it? That doesn't mean you can remove that device from them. That is their device. And maybe they don't even have the right to give up the ventilator. It's their ventilator. It's for them, even though if there's someone who's in graver danger, and likewise for a doctor treating patients, the doctor can't now shift over from patient one to patient two and say, well, patient one's basically dead, so I'm just going to stop treating them and I'm going to let them die. A doctor has a responsibility to do everything he or she has to keep that person alive, even if it seems that it might be better for them to give attention to someone else. Removing attention, like removing equipment, is tantamount, is killing them. So some someone says you can't do that. But he has something here that is only in, I saw it quoted as being in manuscripts, meaning it was handwritten, but it didn't make it in the print version of these tubas. And in the manuscript itself, there was part that was crossed out. And that's the part. So the bracket is the thing that's in the manuscript that didn't make it into print. The parentheses was originally written and then crossed out. But to me, what he writes in the manuscript that didn't make it into print was, and then he wrote, it seems obvious, but then he crossed out, it seems obvious, and wrote, I think. So, and initially it seems obvious that with regard to a ventilator, if based on the majority, doctors see that there is no longer a use for the machine on someone, it is better to give that they give it to the second. Meaning, when Rav Shlomo Zalman initially wrote down that thought was obvious, and then crossed out obvious and said, I think, and then it didn't even make it into the print, was that if you have someone who's on the ventilator, who, according to the majority of doctors, medical opinion says, this person's not going to live. They're on a ventilator. But they're not going to live. There is no statistical likelihood. There's maybe if there was someone had like a 10% chance, 15% chance, we'd say keep them on because 15%. But this person has like a 99% chance they are not going to die. They're not going to live. You may even say like, look, they're brain dead and this is keeping them alive, but there's nothing there and they will not recover. Is it possible? Maybe yes, it's possible. But statistically speaking, you're dealing with something that we don't even consider as actually possible. Of course, anything's possible, but we're ruling this out as really a possibility. In that case, Shlomo Zalman initially writes that it's obvious, and then he says, I think, and then it doesn't even get printed, that he thinks that you can remove the ventilator from a person who's basically dead, definitely going to die, to remove them from the ventilator and give it to someone else. So he's not saying so strong as Rav Menashe Klein because he removes it. Ramesh Klein said, absolutely, you can take away the ventilator. Shlomo Zalman here, at least in the initial writing, thought that if someone is really no chance, according to the medical opinion, this person is not going to recover. They are not going to get up out of this bed. They are not going to open their eyes. They're not going to walk. They're done. Such a person, you could remove from the ventilator to give to someone else. If you have another ventilator, you shouldn't disconnect them. You can't say this person is dead. We're not going to say, oh, things are done. You keep them ventilated. But if there's someone else who needs the ventilator and you have to choose between person who's basically dead and person who you could save, you should remove it and give it to the person to save. Thoughts on that before we do continue with Rav Shlomo Zalman? Anyone think that that's...
I mean, yeah, I feel like I agree.
No, go ahead. We lost her. She felt like something.
Like.
Okay.
I agree. Important. Lose me now. Am I back?
You're back. Yes.
Okay. So I feel like in Judaism, like, it's a common belief to, like, believe in miracles and obviously tshuva. So unless there's a really definite chance that they're not going to live, then it's hard to say that they shouldn't be on that ventilator.
Yeah,
the first person.
Yeah, I mean, he pulls it out of and eventually, but initially, but the first thought, it does seem sort of like, well, what does that mean? Like, don't we believe that there's always a chance?
You know, yeah. Like,
yeah, Zwick.
But I'm also struggling a bit with this because even for someone who's a ghosties, if you're even gonna like. And it doesn't the Gemara say that even if you're going to close his eyes, that you're going to bring on death 1 second earlier, that you're shofech damim in that case?
Yeah.
So I feel like this is a similar
situation. But you're not being shofech damim just to shofech damim. You're being shofech damim to save someone else's life. So it could be a difference.
Yeah. But one is... I feel like the one of them is a little bit more active. That you could, even if you're going to say, okay, you're shofech damim to save someone's life, that's still shvichus damim, as opposed to the other one where, fine, you're over on lo samal adam riecha, but you're not actively doing anything for shvichus damim, as opposed to if you take a person off a ventilator, you are.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, listen, ultimately, Rav Shlomo Zalman, I don't want to say retracts, but it doesn't get printed. So, yeah. And the fact that he even wrote initially that it's obvious and then crossed it out and said, I think, indicates that he wasn't even so sure on it. So, mm-hmm. I mean, I think it's to say that he unequivocally believes that you should just pull the plug, it's not true. So that, I mean, he very much equivocates. Okay, and then, sorry, yeah, okay. Then the last paragraph that he has here about that which the hospital decided to refrain from the ventilator to a trefa, it is conceivable that this is correct. If it is true that every day they have a shlema, they have shlamim coming in to be saved, yet this is not completely clear. So we talked about this, I think, last class also, that you know, you have someone comes into the hospital and they're in a very poor state. They have one ventilator. Do you have to give it to that person? Because even if you hook them up to the ventilator, they may not survive. When you know that someone else is going to be coming in who will survive or who will likely survive with the ventilator, do I have to give it to the person? Is that like wasting the ventilator? We talked about this last time. So Rav Shlomo Zalman feels that he thinks that the hospital policy that says, if someone comes in and you have a shortage of ventilators and this person probably, you hook them up to the ventilator, you're not going to be able to remove them, Rav Shlomo Zalman says. You can't remove them ever. And if you hook them up, you might be wasting the ventilator because in any minute now, there's going to be someone who is more ra'oi, who's more fit to have this ventilator. You don't have to connect them and you could leave it off. You don't have to, you could leave them disconnected and wait for the other person to come in. He says, yet even this is not completely clear. He says, so even if this is not so clear, I still think this is an acceptable policy to have. Well, let's actually, if we skip, we'll say it outside, but beneath source number two, it's unnumbered, but it's the shoot of a response of the Noda Behuda. The Noda Behuda was talking about a case of can you dissect a person for pikuach nefesh? Can you, you know, you're in medical school and you want to dissect a dead body, nivul hamed, you're going to be, you know, disgracing a human body, but it's in the name of science. You're not just doing it because you want to have fun. You're doing it because if you can, you know, if you know how the lower intestine connects, the short, small intestine connects to the long intestine, connects to the appendix, connects to the colon, like if you do all this stuff, you got all this information, that could be very helpful if someone has a disease. And the Noda Behuda says, I'll read this because I didn't translate it. Avaz benito didan, ein kan shum chola hatzarich laza, rak shvotzim lomod chokhma. He said, but in the case that you're dealing with right now, there's no chola in front of us. They just want to learn wisdom. Zo ulai yizda, because ulai yizda men chola shiyatzarich laza. He says, because you're just doing it so that you have information, you can say, look, but it's pikuach nefesh, meaning if I know how the body is put together, that can help me if someone comes in with a ruptured appendix. Now I know where their appendix is and how to do that. And the ruptured appendix, they could get affected, they could die. So this is pikuach nefesh for me to do this autopsy, for me to cut apart this body. So he says, that's not considered pikuach nefesh. Zvadai delo dechinan. He says, certainly we cannot just knock away and say, pikuach nefesh is docha, we're saving a life, certainly for a biblical prohibition, even a rabbinic prohibition. If you say that this is just, you know, it's saving a life, he says, anything could be permissible on Shabbat. You could do any malacha on Shabbat. You could grind spices and like these. You could prepare, sharpen knives, do all these things. You could do anything on Shabbat. You could cook a full meal. Why? Because someone may stop by and say they're going to die of hunger if they don't. You don't know. You know, people in Ann Arbor could need something. And if you don't have a pot of soup always on the burner, someone could knock on the door and say, if I don't have soup right now, I'm going to die. That could happen. So you should always do that. Nona Beatus says that's too far in advance. To say that maybe there's going to be someone, you can't say that. But the Chazon Ish says, and this is in that next source. But I'll say it outside. He basically says that's only when you're dealing with a case where you don't know. But if you know that someone's going to be coming any minute now, you're okay. So saying someone may have appendicitis. I don't know anyone who has appendicitis. I don't know what the statistical likelihood of appendicitis is. So I'm going to do this so that maybe I know in case of appendicitis. That the Chazon Ish, that's totally not acceptable to do that. But in a case where you know that someone's going to be coming, and this is what the Shlomo Zalman is saying, if you know that there's going to be someone coming, we could say that that's a chola b'fanav. We could say that that's a sick person in front of us. He's not physically in front of us. He or she is not physically in front of us. Yeah, but we know statistically that they're going to be coming. Chazon Ish says that's sufficient for us to say you can go ahead and do the autopsy. Because other people are around and will have this disease or have. So for some reason, I'm saying the same thing. Even though we don't have someone else in front of us, we're going to hook up Joe to the ventilator. Maybe Jan's going to come. Maybe Jan's not going to come. For some reason, I says no, but you know statistically Jan's going to show up. So you can defer the ventilator from Joe and give it to Jan, even though Jan's not here yet. We touched on this last time, but so there's where some reason, I'm saying that explicitly. You can do that. He doesn't love saying that, the concept of still passing over someone who's right in front of you for a statistical likelihood of someone who's coming. He says that's ein zeh kol kach barur, it's not so clear, but he's willing to say that it's enough for him to say that policy is acceptable. Any questions or thoughts on Rosh Shlomo Zalman before moving on to Moshe Sternbach? In the next
I have one question about that.
Yeah.
Would that give you, like using the medical school example then, would that give you permission to explore the entire body or, like, just the part of the body that you think you're going to go into? Because, like, let's say you're not planning on being a general surgeon, then, like, looking at that area in the stomach for the appendix just because someone might come in with appendicitis, like, that's not going to help you if you're an orthopedist.
Right.
So, like, how specific do you think that opinion is?
I don't know. I mean, he says the Chazon Ish's language is, I mean, the Nota Behuda would say, the Nota Behuda thinks that that's not enough. The Chazon Ish says, it doesn't make a difference if they're physically before us or not, but if it's matsui, if it's something that's happening outside, mm-hmm. so I don't know what that would mean. I mean, I don't know enough about the history of surgery. I don't know how, at what point people started specializing. I'm like, I don't know how that would work, but I mean, I think what the Chazon Ish is saying is that if you have, it's matsui, it's happening out there, then you can do it now to figure out what's going on out there. But just to be mm-hmm. the orthopedic surgeon to do Nivol Hamet for that abstract thing, that's not okay. It's interesting that the Nota Behuda, I didn't say it right here, but the Nota Behuda says the people who are permitted to do that on, he says, he says that, and I don't know enough about the laws of Nivol Hamet, but he says if someone explicitly permitted it, or if they were executed by the state, or harugim al pi mishpat, or b'misha hiskim be'atzmo b'chayav l'kach, or they agreed to it when they were alive, then he feels that that's for the sake of medical advancement. He felt that that was fine. I'll be honest, I didn't read the entire responsa, but I mean, this is basically the line that he ends up on, that he feels that that's, but I'm really not holding in the sugya of Nivol Hamet, so I don't know enough. So that's a long answer for me to say, I don't know.
Gotcha.
Sorry. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't know how medical schools, like, I don't know how Einstein, I don't know what Einstein does. I don't know enough about this sugya to be able to say. I don't know if it applies just to Jews, non-Jews. Sarichiyun.
I'll look into it.
Yeah. Liam sent me a picture of the emoji with the monocle and the going like this. And he said, that means Sarichiyun. So I'll respond with the monocle thinking emoji and say that's Sarichiyun. All right, so that's Rosh Shlomo Zalman. So I want to read from Moshe Sternbach, this second source here on the bottom of the first page.
Sure.
Thanks. Okay. Any language you want. Skip the bio.
Okay, I would like English.
Okay.
It seems logical that which we wrote, that when someone is always coming in, it is considered as if both are before us. And we see an example of this in the writings of the Chazon Ish, who writes rules that an autopsy is permitted when there is a sick person before us and it doesn't need to be physically before us, but that it exists. When we compare this case of a ventilator to the Talmud of Baba Metzia about two walking in the desert with only one bottle of water, we rule like Rabbi Akiva that you can keep your water and we don't prefer splitting for both to have temporary life. But in our case, that one person comes in who won't live long even with treatment, and one comes in who will live long with treatment. And if we give it to the short life person, now we won't be able to save the long life. This is not considered splitting the resource. Rather, it is proactively killing the one who can live a long life. And since in the doctor's estimation, it is almost certain that someone who could live longer with treatment will come and is permitted to wait to use the ventilator.
So what he's doing, he's comparing this to the water case. So what was the case of the water case? Two people are walking in the desert. Only one bottle of water. Sarah's got the bottle. I don't have the bottle. If we both drink, we both die. If Sarah drinks, she lives and I die. What does Rabbi Akiva say in the Gemara? Who should drink the water? Do we split it?
No.
No. Who gets the water?
Sarah.
Yeah, Sarah gets the water. Right, so that's the Gemara in Baba Metzia. That we, Rabbi Akiva says that we don't prefer splitting it for both to have temporary life. But he's saying that's only for a resource. Hold on. He says that's only the case when Sarah has the water, right? But what if Joe and Jan were both in the desert and I showed up and I have the water and I could give it to one or I could give it to the other, or we could split it. In that case, you don't have permission to give it to one over the other. You have to split it. He thinks the only reason that Sarah gets the water in this case is because she has the water. But if she didn't have the water, if I have the thing, the resource that'll keep someone alive, then I have to split it. I don't have the right to choose one over the other. But he says, the case of a ventilator, that's not a splittable thing. You can't split a ventilator in half. And so you have to choose one person over the other. So water you can split, and so water you have to split. But if there's a resource that can't be split, like a medical equipment, or maybe a doctor's attention, that if you split, it's not really possible. Either the doctor's going to be in room A or room B. They can't be in both at the same time. Maybe, I don't know. But if it's not a splittable thing, like a machine, then we don't prefer you when you can't split it. But in our case, that one person comes in and won't live long, and one person comes in who will live long. If we give it to the short-lived life person, we won't be able to save the other person. It's just, we can't split it. We would normally split it. We would split the water, but we can't split this machine. So we have to pick someone. Who do we pick? If we pick the person who's right in front of us right now, and we don't choose the person that'll live a long life, that's tantamount to killing the other person. He says, it's proactively killing the one who can live a long life. And since the doctor's estimation is almost certain that someone who could live long with treatment will come, it is permissible to wait to use the ventilator. So he's saying the same thing that Rosh Shlomo Zalman said. He said, we've got to make a call. And if we give the ventilator to the person who's in front of us right now, and they might die, even with the treatment, and we know someone's going to come who will probably live with the treatment, if we give up the ventilator to Jane, who's right in front of us, and and Joe comes in, now Joe's not going to ventilator, Joe's going to die. He says that's the equivalent of killing Joe. So whereas Rosh Shlomo Zalman was not so sure about it, Moshe Sternbach is saying absolutely, it is permitted. that's considered, what's the Hebrew language you use? Where's the Hebrew? He says that's doing something with your hand. You have to save the person who's going to live a longer time. If it's kar, and certainly if it's kar, the kevan shaladada rofe karov the badai shemiz damen the mukdam hatzalab chaya olam. It's almost definitely there's going to be someone who's going to come who could live a longer time. You have to save them. Rebecca, look, I cut you off.
Yeah, I feel like this is getting into the whole point, like that we talked about before, that like who are you to choose whose blood is redder? Like, yes, one may live longer, but like, who are you to be the one to decide that? And like, at that instance, you know, like, how do you know that for sure?
So he's empowering the medical professionals and says, look, you know better than anyone else. And we might not be able to evaluate the value of person A versus person B, but you can rule, you can tell us about the statistical likelihood of saving A versus saving B. But yeah, I mean, this, ordinarily we'd say you can't make this call, but Rosh Schermbach is saying in this case, it's not a matter of choosing. Yeah. I mean, what you're concerned about is what Shlomo Zalman is concerned about. That's right. Shlomo Zalman says, I think it's not so barer, but I think, Ellie, Baruch Haba. So we're looking right now at responsa, contemporary responsa. So you're just in time. You're just in time for Rav Schechter and Rav Weiss to read their responsa here. Ellie, I'm gonna post it in the group. Do you have access? Are you on your phone? Are you gone? You're on.
No, I'm here. I'm here.
Okay. Can you read or you can't read?
Can I read right now? Wait, yeah, I can read.
Top of source number 3.
Yeah, I can.
On page 3. Page 3, Rehershel Schechter. You can read it in English.
Oh, there's a source sheet that's not on Zoom. I cannot read.
I just posted it on Zoom. All right, Zwick, I'm appointing you to read.
I'm making this way too difficult.
All right. Rosh Schechter?
Yeah.
Okay. You want the bio or no?
People can read the bio on their own. Okay. Go ahead.
Okay. So for the first one, Batzalas Nefashos. Im echad shekarov levadai she'efshar la'atzil ol ishnish yish rak safik im yo'il az pshita shen dochin vadai bibnei safik. Aval im bau baze achar ze, uchwar chibru es arishon leventilator, aval pish hu zakin muflag mechole, raksa fake im yoil lo hadipol, bebachar bari betair, alzen amar hadin che dochi nefesh vipne nefesh. So the translation is two show up, one certainly will die and one might die. You save the one who will certainly die.
But he says, pshita sh'ein dochin. He says it's obvious that you don't push away the one who will definitely who will be saved from the someone who may be saved. Right? The vadai and safek in the Hebrew are not the vadai and safek in the English. The vadai in the Hebrew is vadai of shar lehatzil and safek im yo'il. So one you certainly can save and one you may be able to save. You definitely have, it's obvious that you have to save the person who it's definite. You can't say the maybe beats out the definite. So the English is actually the opposite of the Hebrew, but it's okay. The same concept.
Okay. But if one is already attached.
So the English is stupid here. Hold on. I wrote it. Let me change the English here.
Should I just translate myself?
Yeah, translate yourself.
Okay, fine.
But I'm gonna change the sentence here. If two show up.
Okay. So, one. However, if two show up one after the other, and the first one is, and they already connected the first one to the ventilator, even though he's very sick and old, and it's only a doubt. It's uncertain whether the care that he's given will actually be effective, and the one who comes after him is healthy and young, presumably with a that he will be able to be healed. For this, this is what the rule, the principle talks about when we say that we don't push off one life for another.
Right. No. So in that case, so Rebecca, what Reshefter is saying is, when do we say like ain't doching nefesh v'nefesh? That's when they're when Joe is already attached to the ventilator, and you want to click, you want to hook Jane into the ventilator. He says that you can't remove it from Joe to Jane because that we've already made the call ain't doching nefesh v'nefesh. Keep going, Zwick.
Yeah. Achein. אם בשעה שבה הזקן המזוקן תחילה כבר יודעים מראש שבעוד שעה, שעתיים, יביאו לבית החולים עוד חולים צעירים בריאים. Therefore, if when the old person who is in danger of dying comes...
Zaken Muflag is...
He doesn't say
Muflag. Zaken Muzukan. He says Muflag later. Sorry, go ahead.
So even though this person comes earlier, but we already know from that point that in another hour or two that more people, specifically young and healthy people, are going to come to the hospital, because this is what happens every day, and it's very clear that there are not enough ventilators for everybody. So this is also considered as if they come all together, that they're consistently coming throughout the day, even if they don't literally walk through the door together. So therefore, in this case, you're not the older person who is in much graver danger of dying, and as opposed to the younger person, we're not allowed to connect him to the ventilator, but keep it open for the younger person who will be able to be healed, who will be coming in a short time.
Right. So consistent with what Rav Shlomo Zalman said and Rav Moshe Sternbach said, which is that you can't disconnect someone from the ventilator, but if the person who's less likely to survive comes in, and you know statistically that someone else is going to be coming in on the basis of the Chazon Ish's idea that it's matsui, it's happening out there. So in that case, Rav Shechter is comfortable, whereas Rav Shlomo Zalman was a little hesitant. Rav Shechter seems very clear that he's comfortable saying, no, don't connect. And I heard Rav Shechter himself talk about this. Don't connect the elderly person who has a less chance of survival with the ventilator when you know someone younger is going to come.
It seems like you're allowed to choose when, like, it's a proactive choice, and when it's going to lead to someone, when you're like taking a measure that's then going to like for sure kill someone, that's when you can't make the choice. Like just based on how he went through this tshuva.
Say that one more time.
That like in cases where like people are coming and you're like proactively choosing, that's when you're allowed to decide which one to give it to and which one not to. Right. But like the case of the taking out a ventilator and giving it to someone else, which he says you can't do, is more like one is proactively saving a life and one feels like proactively like ending a life.
Right. I think you're right. To make the decision lechatchila before anyone's attached, now you're making a decision. We have someone to save. Who do we save? When someone's already connected, it's no longer a question of who do we save, it's a question of can we kill them instead of them? And mm-hmm. that you can't say. But to make the decision of who do we save, right, I think you're right. I think you're spot on.
So you can decide who to save, but you can't decide who to kill, kind of.
Right. You can decide who to save, but you can't decide that someone should die so that someone else can live.
So presumably, and I'm not an expert on hospital statistics.
Neither am I. Okay.
But as the day goes on, especially given in this current pandemic, I can't imagine that the majority of the ventilators are being used on young and healthy people in most hospitals, but a certain amount, let's say, are allotted to them, whatever that amount is, and then the rest of them are used either on sicker people, older people, and the like. So as time goes on throughout the day, it's not necessarily always so clear if younger people are going to come in. And sometimes, you know, according to some medical experts, some doctors are going to be saying that there are going to be a lot of younger people coming in who are going to need the ventilators. Others there aren't. Is there a certain point in the process when, number one, we're going to say that statistically we can't assume that there are going to be younger people coming in? And number two, also, because the majority of them, or not all the ventilators, would be going to younger people in any case, that we essentially change how we view the situation, moving from that they're all coming because you're having younger people come in who will be able to be saved, to when we've moved past that and the ventilators we're now giving out are only to older people and sick people, that we're now viewing them as coming in one by one.
I mean, I don't know the statistics. I don't know. I mean, like right now, I don't know how many people, I don't know how many people are being admitted to the hospital right now that there's actually this question. I mean, when this was initially written, it could be that it really was, and people were coming in at all times of the day. I just don't know the statistics well enough to answer that question. But presumably there is a point in time where it is no longer, that we no longer have that chazaka that someone younger is going to be coming in. Presumably we reach that threshold where we don't know, and then it would just revert and resort to whoever comes first type of thing. I don't know. I don't know when that point is. I don't know if we're at that point already. I don't know if we passed that point. I don't know if we're ever gonna. We're so before that point that it's never gonna come. I don't know. But I think your intuition is right that there will come a time when that shifts. Mm-hmm. If I understood what you're saying correctly.
Yeah, yeah, you understand.
Ellie, you wanna continue in the Rochester?
Yeah, I still don't have the source sheet. I don't really know where that is.
I posted it.
Sorry. Didn't really count through.
Posted it again.
Okay. One more time.
Do you see it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there it is.
All right. So we're at the bottom. What?
We're at what number?
So we're on page 3 with Herschel Schechter, reading the last paragraph on the page, going on to the next paragraph about Mishnah Soforiot. This is familiar. We read this paragraph, I think, last week, where he talks about the Mishnah in Horiot.
You're talking about if at the time that very old person showed up?
Just under that.
Under that.
So he's saying you have two people in front of you at the same time. Or he says, you know, so he basically just laid out that, you know, we don't save, you know, if person A and B come at the same time, or rather what he just said was that if person A comes in and they're probably not going to survive with the ventilator, and you know statistically the person B is going to be coming in, and person B is a person who would benefit from the ventilator, then you can withhold the ventilator from person A and give it to person B. And then he addresses the Mishnah in Horiot. And because we read it last time, I gave you just the English translation is the bare bones of it that we used last time. But he says, Mishnah Basof Horiot. You want to continue there? You could read it in English if you want. Also.
Sorry, just for the previous thing.
Yeah.
Did he give proof texts anywhere?
No, but... presumably what he's, I mean, he did a little bit about the Shein Dochin Vadai Mipnei Safik, but the piece that he had before was presumably based on what we saw also from Moshe Sternbach based on the Chazon Ish, and that's what I heard Rav Schechter say. I think it was on the episode of Headlines he talks about that. He was interviewed and talks about this exact point, and I think he explicitly refers to the Chazon Ish and the Noda Yehuda about the statistical likelihood of someone coming in.
Okay. So at the end of Horiot, the order of saving lives is presented, and it seems that this is based on whom the community needs most. And see what Rav Moshe wrote, which is that it is difficult to operate on these principles because it is impossible to know if one's value to the community.
Right. So that's the basic summary of the piece that we saw in when we were talking about the Mishneh Horio yesterday or last week. The Mishneh Horio laid down a precedence of men before women, women before give a whole list of who takes precedence when you're being saved. And Rav Shechter, quoting Rav Moshe, is saying, which we saw last time, which was that it's just we don't practice in accordance with that Mishnah. Presume what it seems like is that Mishnah is recording who is most valuable in a community, and the person who's most valuable in the community takes precedence. Rav Shechter says that we don't have any ways of doing that now, and so it's a really is we can't do that. He says, "Does that kashe meod likbo mi nitzrach lekeila yoter mi?" Because it's impossible nowadays for us to establish who's more valuable than whom in the community, we don't practice in accordance with this mission in Horio. So he quotes it, but then writes it out just like everyone did, which was saying that we can't use sex or lineage to make this determination of whose life to save. So we have to use other things. Okay. Keep going, Eli. Cheshbon Hanal, or the preference for a young person.
Preference for a young person over the old.
Read this in Hebrew. I'm not sure if I like the translation in English that I wrote. So read it in Hebrew, and then we'll translate it as we go.
Aval Cheshbon Ha
Hanal, which is Hanizkar Leel or Nichtav Leel. That's mentioned above.
Mentioned above, but the preference is mentioned above. Shel Zakin. Muflag umesukan benegoz letzair bria.
So the he mentioned earlier that if you had a choice between the young healthy person or the old sickly person, or the sick person who's in danger and the younger person who's in danger, and he preferred the young over the old. He continues lichora at first glance. Keep going, Eli. Ta'amo, yeah.
Ta'amo raror lekol. Obvious.
To everyone, yeah.
She naruyach yoter im net nitfel. It's a ir habria.
Sorry. Right. So it seems obvious that we'll benefit more if the younger person is the person that we heal.
Cool. Vein ha kone beze sheha tzair yichye od araim shana.
It says the kavana, the intention here, ain a kavana bezat. The intention here is not shat sa'ir yichya od arba'im shana v'zaken muflag rach chamesh. It's not that we prefer the younger over the older because we know the younger person's going to live, 40 more years, and the older person's going to live only 4 years. Why don't we do that? He says diman leimalan shazaken shichya yarak. Sorry, you can read.
Diman Lima.
Right, so he says, who can say? It's not that one, the younger person's going to live 40 years and the older person's going to live only 5 years, because who can say how long the person going to live? The young person could walk out of the hospital and be hit by a bus, and the old person could live a very long time. And the old person, or he doesn't actually say that piece about being hit by the bus. He says, "Rako to chamesh shanim lo yidrom la enoshut beotan chamesh shanim yoter measher mashi yidrom atzair ba'arbim shana shelo." Who knows that the young person may be healed, and then he goes to the University of Michigan and he wastes his life, or it could be the old person and he, is a brilliant mind who, creates all these amazing technologies that does amazing things for humanity. Like, who could tell that it's not about the fact that the person who's older is it's not about quality, or it's not about quantity of life that will yield a certain quality, because we don't know. This is my chazit. Ela kavana bazeh, rather the intention here.
Ela hakavana bazeh she'etzel hazakin achole. Afilu yo'il lo hot.
Hardest words in Hebrew are the ones that aren't Hebrew. Ventilator.
Ventilator. Oh, come on.
Sorry.
It's so challenging. A ventilator. Rak yichi od chayisha.
he says that the intention is that for the old person, you know, we'll stop with Rav Schechter today, and maybe and next week we'll do Rav Asher Weiss, and then we'll take a break, and then we'll switch topics, because we're not going to get to Rav Asher Weiss, and so we should do so. Sorry, I'm just realizing the time now. Okay, so rather, it's so he's saying the point is not that there's a kavana bazeti. Thought is shatzal zaken chahule with the old with the sick old person. Now feel the ilo ha ventilator, even if the ventilator helps him. If the ventilator helps him, I think what Rav Schechter is saying is the ventilator helps him, still, how much he's going to live for a short period of time. Presumably he's sick yet. I think what Rav Schechter is saying is probably has underlying medical issues, that even if he survives corona, he might still die within 12 months. But the younger person would live likely for more than 12 months. Upshita, tizeh cheshbon al pitin, shechei olam adifa mechayisha, lechen yesh lakdimo. And we know already, and this comes back to what we talked about last time, where we said that somebody's going to live less than 12 months is a treifa, and therefore the value of their life may be less than the value of someone who's a shalem, who's going to live a longer life. So Rav Schechter is saying, so if you have someone who's old, even if they're saved, will likely live for only 12 more months, because I think Rav Schechter is saying because they probably have other underlying medical issues. They're considered a chayei sha'a. They're considered in the category of a treifa. And if you have to choose between a treifa and a shalem, someone who could live a long life, you're going to choose the shalem over the treifa. The person who the likelihood is they're going to die within 12 months doesn't beat out the person who the likelihood is they're going to live for longer than 12 months. We don't know what they're going to contribute to society, but on the pure fact of this one's a chayei sha'a, this one's a chayei olam, you choose the chayei olam before the chayei sha'a. You choose the younger person before the older person because the likelihood is that the younger person's going to recover and live for longer, putting them in the category of chayei olam, long life. And the older person, even if he or she does recover, they're going to be not surviving for very, they're going to probably still die within 12 months, putting them in the category of chayei sha'a. And then chayei olam, long life, versus chayei sha'a, short life, chayei olam wins. Not because of what they can contribute to society, but purely on the fact that we're dividing them up into statistical likelihood of long life, statistical likelihood of short life. Long life beats short life. Does that make sense?
I have one question.
Yeah.
Is the reason that we're like choosing to value the longevity rather than the value, like as mentioned in Horiot, is that just because we can't measure value and we can measure how many years statistically? Is that
where
that comes in?
I think so. I think that's why Rav Schechter says why he rules out the why he rules out Horiot. He says that it's not possible. I somehow accidentally just closed the Word doc, but yeah, because he thinks it's not possible for us to actually figure that out. Yes.
Are we factoring in likelihood of survival in this at all?
I think that's what Rav Schechter is saying here. I think he says that the younger person has a greater chance of survival. Survival in this case being defined as longer than 12 months from now. I think that is what he's saying.
It sounds to me like you're saying more length of time after survival, but what about just like treatment? Like maybe in this disease, you're less likely to survive, but your overall life expectancy is higher than the other person, years wise.
Did you say again? Explain again?
So like maybe you have like a 5-year-old who, if he survives from corona, has a very low chance of surviving later on to other medical conditions, as opposed to like an 8-year-old who has corona is very unlikely to survive, but also like what are the odds that he lives another 20 years?
All right, so I think if I understand what Rav Schechter is saying correctly, I think what he's saying is that younger person, because they have underlying health issues, may be in the category of chayei sha'a, and so they would not necessarily beat out the 80-year-old if the 80-year-old we believe is in the chayei olam category. If they're both in the chayei sha'a category, then I don't know what we do. I don't know what Rav Schechter thinks we do. I don't know if Rav Schechter would say, look, they're both going to live for a short period of time. You're choosing between two chayei sha'as. I don't know what he would say. He explicitly rejects saying that it's a matter of amount of time we imagine they're going to live, 5 years versus 40 years, because this is who can say. the value that they're going to do. So I don't know if the age would then be a factor. I'm not sure. Ellie, you want to finish up with this last paragraph and then we'll stop here and we'll continue next week with the Rusher Weiss.
Inappropriately, you can put him on a DNR.
Do not resuscitate.
But this is not active killing, and there is no other choice as we can with the person who can benefit the community. How do they even know that I tried to put it into the
store? Right, so he still entertains. So the paragraph in English is much shorter than the Hebrew, but the Hebrew is... He says, they already attached the really old person to the ventilator. Then they realize, oh, we probably shouldn't have done that. Because there are going to be a lot of young people who are going to come. You should give him a DNR. Do not resuscitate. Right. So, to start now, why can you put him a DNR? Even if normally we'd say you shouldn't use DNR, you have to do whatever you can to save this person's life. In this case, we say we let him do it. Because why? If the older person is now dying, or they died, they're legally dead, or in the point of the, I don't know what the proper language is, they coded, you would have to resuscitate them. In that case, you have the old person who needs resuscitation, or you could take your attention and you could plug this younger person into the ventilator. He says that now you're dealing with the case of two people. You have to choose between person A and person B. Like Rebecca said, if you're choosing between do we remove it from this person and do it to that person, that you can't make that call. But this case, now it's a question of they're both dying. This one actually might be legally dead. So now what do I do? In that case, he says, now you have two people in front of you. You can make the correct call and you can choose to attach the younger person, the person who should be connected to the older person, than the other person. And he says, in this case, v'aleinu lahakdim hatipul b'tzeirim habriim, v'ein b'zeh mishum ein dochi nefesh b'tzei nefesh, ki ein kan ratzicha b'kum v'aseh. He says, we're not actually killing anyone, right? He says, the time of ein dochi nefesh b'kum nefesh is when you're actively killing person A to save person B. But now we're not doing that. Ela rak ikiyum hadin shelo ta'amod al damrecha. You're just not proactively saving a life. And he thinks that you should still, so here's what he's saying, I said before I wasn't sure, so here he's saying explicitly that you should choose, if you have to, you choose the one who's of more value to the community as far as we think that value to the community goes. Any last questions on this before we wrap up? This is the last piece of Shlomo Zalman that we're going to do. And next week we'll look at Rav Asher Weiss. Okay, fine. So no final questions on this. So this is Rav Schechter. We're basically saying to follow Horiot we can't do, but to someone comes in and we know someone else is going to be coming later, we can, we can defer plugging this person in to save someone else. When they're both plugged in, or when the person's already plugged in, you can't remove them. But you can delay treatment to reserve those resources for someone else later on. We'll see Rav Asher Weiss, who will say basically that, I'm not going to tell you what he says, but everyone's basically saying that Gadol the same thing. It's just interesting to see how people formulate it and why they say it and how they say it. We'll see Rav Asher Weiss says similar to what Rav Schechter says, but I think he formulates it differently. Ask your local Orthodox rabbi if there's a halachic nafkamina between Rav Asher Weiss and Rav Schechter, but I guess we'll talk about that next week. For now, everyone have a wonderful night, and I'll see you guys. We'll do this one more week. My plan was to end now, but we'll do one more week. And the text I sent to everyone, I'll stop there.